The ambidextrous person turned around happily, so Esme could tie his right hand behind his back, and in a moment he became someone with only one useful arm instead of two. "I haven't forgotten you two," Esme continued, smiling at the three of them. "Chabot, here's a long razor that Count Olaf uses when he needs to disguise himself with a good shave. I thought you could use it to trim some of that ugly wolf hair. And for you, Beverly and Elliot, I have this." Esme removed the sack from her gown and held it out to the older Baudelaires triumphantly. Violet and Klaus peeked inside and saw that it was empty. "This sack is perfect to cover up one of your heads," she explained. "You'll look like a normal one-headed person who just happens to have a sack balanced on their shoulder. Isn't that smashing?"
"I guess so," Klaus said in his fake high voice. "What's the matter with you?" Hugo demanded. "You've been offered an exciting job and given a generous present, and yet both of your heads are moping around." "You too, Chabot," Colette said. "I can see through your fur that you don't look very enthusiastic."
"I think this might be an opportunity that we should refuse," Violet said, and her siblings nodded in agreement.
"What?"
Esme said sharply.
"It's nothing personal," Klaus added quickly,
although not wanting to work for Count Olaf was about as personal as things could get.
"It does seem very exciting to work in a theatrical troupe, and Count Olaf does seem like a terrific person." "Then what's the problem?" Kevin asked.
"Well," Violet said, "I don't think I'm comfortable throwing Madame Lulu to the lions."
"As her other head, I agree," Klaus said. "And Chabot agrees too." "I bet she only half agrees," Hugo said. "I bet her wolf half can't wait to watch her get eaten."
Sunny shook her head and growled as gently as she could, and Violet lifted her up and placed her on the table.
"It
just doesn't seem right," Violet said. "Madame Lulu isn't the nicest person I know, but I'm not sure she deserves to be devoured."
Esme gave the older Baudelaires a large, false smile and leaned forward to pat them each on the head again.
"Don't worry your heads over whether or not she deserves to be devoured," she said, and then smiled down at Chabot. "You don't deserve to be half-wolf, do you?" she asked. "People don't always get what they deserve in this world."
"It still seems like a wicked thing to do," Klaus said. "I don't think so," Hugo said. "It's giving people what they want, just like Lulu says."
"Why don't you sleep on it?" Esme suggested, and stood up from the table. "Right after tomorrow's show, Count Olaf is heading north to the Mortmain Mountains to take care of something important, and if Madame Lulu is eaten by then, you'll be allowed to join him. You can decide in the morning whether you want to be brave members of a theater troupe or cowardly freaks in a run-down carnival."
"I don't need to sleep on it," Kevin said. "Me neither," Colette said. "I can decide right now." "Yes," Hugo agreed. "I want to join Count Olaf."
"I'm glad to hear that," Esme said. "Maybe you can convince your co-workers to join you in joining me joining him." She looked scornfully at the three children as she opened the door to the caravan. The hinterland sunset was long over, and there was not a trace of blue light falling on the carnival. "Think about this, Beverly and Elliot and Chabot, too," she said. "It just might be a wicked thing, throwing Madame Lulu into a pit full of carnivorous lions." Esme took a step outside, and it was so dark that Olaf's girlfriend looked like a ghost in a long white gown and a fake extra head. "But if you don't join us, where can you possibly go?" she asked. The Baudelaire orphans had no answer for Esme Squalor's terrible question, but Esme answered it herself with a long, wicked laugh. "If you don't choose the wicked thing, what in the world will you do?" she asked, and disappeared into the night.